I remember long ago when I was in elementary school, a lot of the girls my age all took tap lessons. It was like it was required. Like the boys played Little League, the girls took tap dance. And was that the case when you were coming up? You were both involved in dance, but were a lot of your peers taking tap lessons just to focus in on tap?
I would say that, at least where I trained, ballet was definitely the base. And that's kind of where you started at when you were younger, around three, which is, I think, when about both of us started. And then from there, you start adding on and layering the other dance styles. Tap usually comes next, and then jazz. And then from there, you have a good base and a foundation to then branch out and learn other different dance styles.
In order to be a Raquette, you do have to be proficient in tap dance. And as Joanna was saying about the ballet, I had a very strong ballet background. And I actually studied jazz and tap growing up, but the older I got, the more focus I just had. I just honed in on ballet. And I actually went to college at the University of Cincinnati, where I was just majoring in ballet. And one day, an upperclassman, she walked by me and she's like, "Hey, Alina, you tap, don't you?" And I was like, "Yeah, I do, actually," because all the girls there just strictly did ballet. And I was like, "I do tap." And she's like, "Well, do you want to go to this audition with me?" And I was like, "What's it for?" And she's like, "The Radio City Raquettes." And I was thinking, "Oh, gosh. Okay, sure." So we actually got in her car and made the drive to take the audition. The audition was in Chicago. And so we drove to Chicago from Cincinnati, and we had the best time. And both of us made it through to the end of the audition. And unfortunately, neither one of us got the call that time. But we actually both went back and auditioned a few years later, and both of us got a job. And we got to do our very first season together. So it was a really, really exciting time for both of us.
In the South, clogging is sort of like it's a Southern version of tap. Did you ever clog, either one of you?
I never have. I've never clogged before.
I have, yeah.
Okay, it's sort of like tap, isn't it?
It is. It's I don't want to say the sloppier version of tap, but it's definitely more like down into the ground and flat-footed, and I love to clog. I think it's fun.
How many Raquettes are in the company?
Well, when you see the Radio City Christmas Spectacular, when our touring markets, we have 18 women across the stage. In New York, we have twice as many, 36. And then on top of that, we have swings and dance captains that are a part of each company as well.
So you've got 36 in New York, mm-hmm. 18 in the touring companies. How fierce is the competition when you try out? I mean, how many girls are trying out for these positions if there's only 36, say, in New York?
It's very, very competitive. When I auditioned, there were over 400 girls just at that one particular audition call. And it was at Radio City Music Hall, which was already an incredible experience to be walking up those stairs and rehearsing and auditioning in the room that former Raquettes have trained in and prepared for the Radio City Christmas Spectacular. And it's a two-day vigorous audition. You learn jazz combinations, you do tap combinations, you learn more jazz combinations, you kick, of course, because we have to be able to do those eye-high kicks. So it's a lot, because you have to be able to prove that you can pick choreography up very quickly and get those little details that we're known for our precision dance style.
So now that you're both Raquettes, seasoned dancers with the company, how do you prepare for a performance? What do you do to get ready?
I will say that our rehearsal process is very, very long and very tiring. We're actually, people don't realize, we make it look so easy on stage, but what we do is very comparable to what a professional athlete does. What people don't realize is that we're rehearsing for about a month before the show starts, from 10 to 5 every day, and perfecting these dance moves. And then most of us after that are getting in an ice bath, stretching, doing everything we can to make sure that our body is right on top of everything, eating very well, making sure we get enough sleep. So I would say that the rehearsal process, because we're just drilled and we know these numbers, everything is so precise. We make sure every single cheek angle is where it needs to be. Every single pinky is in line. So by the time we get to the stage, you know, we've got it. We're on it.
Once you make the company, how long does it last? Do you sign like a multi-year contract, or do they reassess your performance every year and say, well, you're in or you're out, or how does that work?
Yes, every year we have to re-audition because, like I said earlier, it is one of those things we just have to keep up with the times, and there's always someone else that, you know, this is such a prestigious job. Who doesn't want to be a Rockette? So we have to make sure that every year we show up, and if we still want the job, to show up to an audition. And you know, if you've done a great job in years past, it's definitely, I think, we have an advantage. That's why we've been able to, we have been Rockettes as long as we have, because you definitely, not only do you have to have a great dance technique, but you also have to love what you do, because we perform up to 16 shows a day, and it shows every time we're on stage that love. We don't just love to dance, we love being together, we're easy to work with, and so yeah, I think that we kind of have an advantage over people that are auditioning for the first time.
What is the biggest challenge you face as a Rockette? Is it keeping in shape, or is it the fear of, oh my gosh, I could be replaced next year? What is it for you?
For me, I'd say the biggest challenge, at least during the season when we are performing the Christmas Spectacular, are those four show days. We start at the first show tends to be around 11 o'clock, and then every 2 hours after that, we have another performance. So right as you're finishing one show, you're coming off stage, then you're going and you're getting food so you can replenish and refuel your body. Then the next thing you know, it's half hour call, time to get back to the dressing room. You're getting notes from your dance captain, you're fixing your hair, you're fixing your makeup, 5 minute call, throw on the costume, up to the stage. It's just nonstop, and it's tiring. We all love it, and we're there supporting each other, and we all work as a group to, you know, keep our energy high and put on the best show every time. But for me, that's the most challenging.
And for me, I won't say for me, but, and I would have thought it would have been the high heels. this year's Christmas show, what's new in this year's show that wasn't in last year's show?
Well, we're really excited to bring this version of the show to Atlanta at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center, which is running November 7th through the 23rd. This year, we have a state-of-the-art 50-foot LED screen, and it will take audiences all the way from a wintry wonderland to Times Square and then later to Santa's workshop. It's really amazing technology that we have with us.
Now, are there parts of the show that come back every year, sort of audience favorites? What would those be?
Yeah.
What are the big hits, so to speak?
Absolutely. We have two numbers that have been in the show since its beginning, since 1933, Parade of the Wooden Soldiers, and then The Living Nativity. And then on top of that, we have a few brand new numbers, like Let Christmas Shine and New York at Christmas, that really make use of that 50-foot LED screen, but definitely staying true to our beginning and keeping those traditional numbers part of the show.
And there's always a surprise or two, I'd imagine.
Of course.
So we won't reveal those now.
No, don't want to do that.
Need to go to the show to see that.
Exactly.
And as seasoned performers of the Rockettes, 8 years and 9 years respectively, what advice would you give to a young dancer right now if she wanted to join the company someday as you have?
I would say definitely take class. Stay in class, train. The more you train, the better you're going to be and the stronger dancer, and then the more you're going to be prepared for an audition. We also have a wonderful program called the Rockette Summer Intensive, where girls audition and then actually get to go to Radio City, take classes from our dance captains and directors, from actual Rockettes, learn the choreography, and actually get to learn what we do, get to experience the life of a Rockette, and then from there kind of get a feel if it's something that they might want to do or, you know, actually pursue that. It's probably the best way to really hone in on the style of the Rockettes, because you really can't go to any dance studio and take a Rockette style class. It's very distinctive and specific to what we do.
Yeah, and I would just say to any young aspiring dancer is dream big. As a child, I never, ever thought I had the ability to be something as big as a Rockette. I just wanted to dance. I didn't care where it was. And if it weren't for my very great, wonderful friend, Katie Russell, who is still a Rockette, I probably wouldn't be sitting here today. And so surround yourself with people that believe in you. Dream big.
Joanna Richardson and Alina Duncan, members of the Radio City Rockettes, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.